From in the beginning to the musical apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host, Mike Wiseman, and on today's episode, I talk with Stan Johnson from the Prophecy Club podcast. Like many Christians, Stan relies on the Bible, specifically the book of Revelation, for information regarding the apocalypse, the end of the world. In my book I'm working on, The Bible Says What, the book, I explore and scrutinize this Christian apocalypse. I'm going to read a portion of the first draft of chapter 13, The Musical Apocalypse. The end is inevitable, and no one can escape its slow and steady approach. It has been prophesied and predicted by multitudes of charismatic charlatans, all claiming knowledge of some unknown future event or action that will extinguish all life as we know it. Christianity carries its own set of ideas and beliefs concerning the end of the world. The Christian deity, through his own breathed-out words, describes his apocalyptic plans for this planet, his violent intentions to eradicate every creature living on its surface. Christians will often enthusiastically refer to the end of the world as the tribulation, the rapture, or the end times. Most believe that their citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. They believe that their demigod in sandals will be arriving soon in the clouds with great power and glory to take them home, Mark 13:26. Christians look forward to the day Jesus comes back to judge and damn those who do not consider the stories of death and salvation within the Bible to be true and factual accounts, those they regard as non-believers. Starting in the book of Daniel, Yahweh tells us through his prophet, through his mouthpiece, that the end of the world will be a time of distress such as not happened before, Daniel 12:1. The dead will awake to either their everlasting life or their everlasting contempt, Daniel 12:2. Unlike most of the Bible messengers carrying news of the end, Daniel did not believe that these things would come to pass in his lifetime. He spoke of these events as if they were to take place in the distant future. Paul, another one of those important figures in the Christian religion, wrote some letters to various churches using Yahweh-given predictions explaining what the end of the world will be like under the current deistic management. He wrote to a friend of his that he left in charge of a church in Ephesus, warning him of the terrible times in the end of days that will be had by all, 2 Timothy 3:1. He also wrote to the church of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul told them that Jesus himself will come down from heaven, and with a magic trumpet call, all the dead who followed Yahweh when they were alive, all of the Christians, will rise up out of their graves and float up to the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. He informs this church that the Christians who are still alive and are left will be caught up together in the sky with the people who come back to life. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Paul believes that he and the recipients of his letters are going to be among the living. He thinks that they will be among those caught up with the deceased believers as they all ascend into the clouds. Paul also writes letters to a church in Corinth telling them that they will not sleep, but will be changed, 1 Corinthians 15:51. He says that in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the dead will be raised and they will be changed, 1 Corinthians 15:52. Unlike Daniel, Paul believes that he is going to witness the second coming of Jesus within his lifetime. He thinks he is going to observe and take part in the events leading up to and during the last days. He will not sleep. He will hear the last trumpet call. He was wrong, of course, just like those before him and the countless that will follow. The Christian demigod himself prophesied the end times. When leaving the temple one day, the 12 disciples started to point out all of the magnificent buildings that were around them, Mark 13:1. Deciding to give his followers some insight into the end of the world, Jesus tells them that eventually not one stone will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down, Mark 13:2. Curious about the destruction of the temple buildings, his disciples asked him, "When will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" Mark 13:4. Jesus warns them that there will be deceivers in those days. Many will come in his name, Luke 21:8. His disciples will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, Mark 13:7 8. He tells them that there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven, Luke 21:11. He calls these events the beginnings of the birth pains, Mark 13:8. Jesus informs his disciples that during these times, brother will betray brother to death, and children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death, Mark 13:12. He forewarns them that the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky. Mark 13:24-25. After Yahweh removes all light sources, even some that are erroneously portrayed as a light source, he tells us that the entire planet will see the Son of Man, or Jesus, coming in the clouds. Mark 13:26. When the Christian demigod returns, he is going to be riding on a cloud in complete darkness. Jesus also believes that his disciples will be round up and flogged in the synagogues, Mark 13:9, and hated by all nations, Matthew 24:9. All men will hate the 12 because of Jesus, Mark 13:13. He thought his disciples were going to take part in Yahweh's apocalypse, just as Paul thought his church members were going to float up into the clouds with their deceased Christian brothers and sisters. Clearly, this did not happen. Jesus was wrong. The Christian demigod proceeds to tell his followers what he believes to be the truth and claims that his generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Mark 13:30. They will not taste death before they see the kingdom of Yahweh come to power. Mark 9:1. The disciples, like Paul, did not live to see these events take place. Jesus failed to know when the end of the world would come. He did not know when the end of the world would happen because no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Only Yahweh holds that knowledge. Mark 13:32. Right after claiming to have knowledge about the timing of the end of the world, Jesus admits that no one knows when it will happen, not even him. Jesus has no idea when the end of the world will take place. He was aware of his own ignorance, yet he still promised an inaccurate time frame for Yahweh's apocalypse, which, according to Jesus himself, is an unknowable thing to know, even for him. Nevertheless, the Christian demigod announces to his followers that it is going to happen within their lifetime. He knowingly lies to them and tells them that their generation will see the end of the world. Why would anyone continue to trust his predictions after such an obvious oversight? Yahweh is the only one who knows when the day and the hour of his apocalypse is going to take place, and he tells us through his own breathed-out words that it will happen soon. Revelations 3:11. The time is near, Yahweh says, Revelations 1:3. I am coming soon, Revelations 22:7. Jesus thought the end was going to take place during his time period. Paul thought he was going to see Jesus in the clouds firsthand, and most Christians today believe the same thing as Paul. The Bible has managed to convince countless people that Jesus is going to return within their lifetime. Generation after generation, Christians have continued to believe that they will see Jesus coming in the clouds to take them home. Inevitably, when nothing happens, when people start to notice that Jesus has failed to show up, Yahweh predicts that some will begin to question the validity of this coming, this end of the world they were promised, 2 Peter 3:4. They will recall being told that their fathers will live to see the end of the world, yet their fathers will have all died, and the world will continue to endure just as it has since the beginning of creation, 2 Peter 3:4. Peter assumes that everyone must be wrong about the timing of these events. He indicates that Yahweh is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness, 2 Peter 3:9. He believes that the reason it appears to be taking longer than it should was due to our misunderstanding of Yahweh's concept of time. Peter asserts that to the Christian deity, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day, 2 Peter 3:8. This idea, however, could not possibly be applied to every biblical timeline, time frame, or period of time described within the pages of Yahweh's bestseller. Without verification from their mute deity, Christians, using their own thought processes, must choose which stories to apply this Yahwistic concept of time to. If we adopt this idea of one day being equivalent to 1,000 years and apply it to some of the other stories within the biblical texts, then we would have a world that was created not in days but millennia, and a demigod deceased for 3,000 years instead of the typically taught 3 days in the tomb. This idea is not consistent with the rest of the biblical narrative. It does not fit. Peter did not know why the apocalypse had not yet taken place. As an excuse for this delay, Peter changes the timeline for these events by inventing an entirely new concept of time, Yahweh time. As if abandoning his time change for the apocalypse, Peter, later on, attempts to warn those living in his lifetime of the impending destruction of the world. He wants them to look forward to the day when Yahweh returns to bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, 2 Peter 3:12. He claims that the day of the Christian apocalypse will come like a thief, and that the heavens will disappear like a roar, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare, 2 Peter 3:10. Why would Peter warn these people about an end to the world that he believes won't happen for thousands of years? Peter appears to be confused as to when he thinks the end will come. Once he feels that an adequate amount of time has passed, Yahweh, the loving deity worshipped by Christians, will launch his final genocide. The Christian apocalypse will begin with a scroll that has writing on both sides and is sealed with seven seals, Revelations 5:1. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth will be able to open the scroll or even look inside it. Not even the all-powerful Christian deity himself will be able to open this scroll, Revelations 5:3. The only one capable of breaking the seven unbreakable seals will be Jesus, disguised as a lamb, looking as if it had been slain. Revelations 5:6. He will appear standing in the center of Yahweh's eccentric throne, encircled by 24 elders and four living creatures, who will have six wings and be covered completely in eyeballs. Revelations 5:6. Jesus will arrive disguised as a dead lamb with seven horns and seven eyes on his head. Revelations 5:7. Once dead lamb Jesus takes the scroll from the right hand of Yahweh, the all-powerful deity that is powerless to open the scroll, the four living six-winged eyeballed monsters and their companions, the 24 elders, will fall down before dead lamb Jesus. Revelations 5, 7-8. Each one will have a harp and golden bowls of incense. They will sing a new song praising the one who is worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. Revelations 5, 8-9. After which 10,000 times 10,000 angels in a loud voice will sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Revelations 5, 11-12. Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and that is in them will sing praise and honor and power forever and ever to Yahweh and the Lamb. Revelations 5:13. Every animal on the planet will stop what they are doing and sing a song. In the beginning of the Bible, there is a talking snake that convinces two people to eat magical fruit. And by the end of the book, earthworms will be singing praises to a demigod dressed in a dead animal costume. The flying eyeball monsters will close out the song that every person on the planet will be singing alongside their dogs with an amen, while the 24 elders fall down and worship Yahweh yet again. Revelations 5:14. Why does he need every living creature to worship and sing praises to him? Why does he require these songs to be sung? Why are there singing animals in the Christian apocalypse? After all life on earth has finished singing their flattering chorus line, Jesus, still disguised as a deceased lamb with an excessive amount of eyeballs, will open the first of the seven seals. Revelation 6:1. Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with? Okay, so it took you reading the Bible to realize that those things were bad for you?
Yeah, it actually did.
I didn't figure this out on your own?
No, Ted Bundy could be redeemed. God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Yahweh sets up a whole system in the Old Testament where you slaughter animals just so he's able to forgive you.
All right, special guest today is Stan Johnson from ProphecyClub.com. Welcome to the show, Stan.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, I have been studying Bible prophecy for 40 years, and I've been teaching it for 30 years, doing a radio and sometimes TV program on it for 25 years. I've made 37 full-length DVDs, In other words, like American Bible Prophecy, Revelation, Daniel, and things like that, all dealing with Bible prophecy. Mm-hmm. About 2 years ago, I memorized the book of Revelation, and not trying to be arrogant, and I know this is going to sound like an arrogant statement before I say it, so I don't mean it to be.
Okay.
But, you know, I didn't really think I was going to learn a whole lot memorizing the book of Revelation. Well, to my surprise, I learned a whole lot, but it was not what I learned. In the process, God gave me over 30 revelations and 2 visions and told me to write a book on Bible prophecy, which should be coming out here in the next few months. It's all completed. Hmm. Just got to get it printed and out to the people.
Hmm.
So IR Bible prophecy. That's what I do, a 30-minute daily program on Bible prophecy. As a matter of fact, you can listen to our program by going to YouTube. Well, you can go to prophecyclub.com, but you can also go to YouTube and type in Prophecy Club channel and then click the round picture. And if you'll go to the video section, you'll see a video that I put out about a month ago, and it has like 248,000 views. It absolutely went viral. So IR Bible prophecy. That's what I do, is teach Bible prophecy.
Nice. So you've memorized the whole book of Revelation.
Yes, sir.
That's quite a feat, sir.
Well, and let me say, I don't know exactly how to explain this, but a new spirit came on me as a result of memorizing that. I also, and I think it's the spirit of prophecy came on me in a new way, in that there are several things that changed, but I see below the ink on the paper, so to speak. And I understand all of the prophecies, but especially Revelation, much better. Of course, that is what we're about to talk about today.
Correct. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you learned, especially, I think it was Revelation 18?
Yeah. Okay, first of all, I'm going to make the case that I think that Revelation 18 and also the first few verses of Revelation 19 mm-hmm. is talking about America. Okay. In specific.
Okay.
But I'm also going to say that I think Jeremiah 50, 51, Isaiah 13, 21, and 47 are actually all talking about America. As a matter of fact, I've made a DVD, American Bible Prophecy, you would probably want to get if you enjoy what I had to say.
Interesting.
But before I get into this, see, the big question mm-hmm. in people's mind is, yeah, I know you say that America is in Bible prophecy, but I don't believe it. I don't like that. I don't want to hear that.
I don't think it's so much that people don't want to hear it. I think it's so much that, or that people don't put the pieces together like you have apparently. When you read it, you see America, right?
Right.
And when everybody else reads it, they read it as, you know, chapter 18 is called the fall of Babylon. So most people just read it as the fall of Babylon, as opposed to anything to do with America. So that's where the skepticism would come from, I think.
Before I get started, you're going to be saying, well, if this is really America, and if America is really going to fall, then when is it going to fall? So let me give you about a 90-second overview of what I see is going to be taking place over the next few years, and then we'll get in and we'll actually read through Revelation 18.
Okay.
And I know that I'm about to say something that's going to be, you're not going to have to wait, but just about 24 hours to see if what this first thing I'm going to say is going to come to pass.
Interesting.
And now this first thing I'm going to say uh-huh. is not saith the Lord. In other words, God has not told me that the Republicans are about to have a great victory. That's not thus saith the Lord. This is my guess. But that's what this next 90 seconds is. I'm trying to put it all together.
Okay.
What you're about to see is a massive Republican victory.
Huh.
I think you're going to see the Democrats kicked out from the North, South, and the East, and the West in mass, probably the greatest political victory for the Republicans in American political history.
Huh.
And it's not going to be just a little bit. I think the Republicans will keep the House, and they will win big time in the Senate. Now,
interesting. Are you basing this off of anything in particular?
Yes, but I don't have time to get into that if we get into the other things. That's the reason I'm going to give you, have me back again and we can.
All right.
Okay, so I think that shortly after that, you're about to see 6,000 bad guys rounded up. They're going to be guilty of either sex trafficking or corruption. They are going to be put into military tribunals. It's not going to be a show trial. And perhaps as soon as 3 or 4 months, they will be sentenced and gone. You won't see them again. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be our Gideon. It's going to be our Elijah, our Samson, where God is giving America our last chance to heal. Okay. Jeremiah 1 verse 9 says, we would have healed Babylon, meaning America.
Babylon. But
healed. Forsaken, let every man return into his own country. This is America's last chance to heal. Hmm. And, well, here, let me finish my picture. So I think that going to do is going to put the Republicans in charge in a way that they haven't been maybe ever. One of the things that they're going to do wrong, and let me just say I'm a Republican, mm-hmm. and I think Trump is the greatest president we've ever had.
Wow.
Just because some guy is good, if that nation is under the judgment of God, we can make what we think are correct decisions, mm-hmm. but steps are actually walking us straight down to walk into the Red Sea to our destruction. And that's, I'm afraid, what we are doing. This is our chance to heal. So there's two things happening. There's great victories in the midst of also preparation for a great defeat. So I think what we'll see is 60,000 people arrested.
60.
And you'll see an EAS message come across your phone, kind of like an Amber Alert.
Uh-huh.
You have two words in it. It will say national emergency. That is the serving of the arrest warrants to America. That is Donald Trump saying, I am serving my executive order that I filed back in March the 1st of 2017, saying I've declared a national, or excuse me, 2018, I've declared a national emergency, and he's going to round up a bunch of sex traffickers, which is actually terribly, terribly bad,
wow.
and a bunch of corruption. And I hope people like George Soros and Bill and Hillary Clinton and other really corrupt people are at the top of the list, but again, not part of that decision.
So why do you think he's going to do a national emergency message? What gives you that idea?
If I answer that, we won't have time to go into the other things. Go to the video I just told you about, Prophecy Club.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems pretty far fetched that Donald Trump's going to do all this and that he's a good guy.
I understand, and I'd be happy to explain it, but if I do that, we won't have time for the other stuff.
Okay, well, okay, so wrap it up, and then we'll get into Revelation. Sound good?
All right.
Cool.
Okay, so with the Republicans in charge, mm-hmm. they're going to start making people go to work. They're going to say, we've got the jobs, so we want you to pull off a welfare. We want you to go and take some of these jobs. That's mm-hmm. going to start massive, massive more problems. Now, there was a Romanian pastor by the name of Dimitri Dudeman, mm-hmm. and he smuggled Bibles into Romania and Russia for some 30 years.
Okay.
Finally arrested. They put him through 5 months of torture trying to get him to tell them how and who he was smuggling the Bibles through and to. He refused. So finally they put him on the electric chair. Twice, not once, but twice. And as electricity is going through his body, he's jerking all over on this chair from the electricity. He thinks he's going to die, but about that time, the whole room lights up with white light, and there's an angel that says, Dimitri, look at me. And he says, the angel was so bright, I could barely look at him. Hmm. He said, so I looked at the angel. He said, I'm the angel Gabriel. I've been sent to help you. He said, don't worry. He said, you're not going to die. Plead the blood of Jesus. So I started saying, Singula Lewis Seuss, mm-hmm. which is meaning for the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm cutting the story short.
Well, how did
you're not
was there
die.
Evidence of this happening? Did you talk to this man? Did you see it happen?
Oh, man.
Is there like a news article or some video? I tried looking up this Dimitri guy, and I couldn't find him.
Over three different times. We put him on several speaking tours.
In so my he just opinion, says this happened. There's no actual evidence of it.
Walk the nation of America. But again, I don't have time for that. Hmm. But there's, if you want the whole story on that, I have an offer up at prophecyclub.com called Wake Up America.
Mm-hmm.
Offer that will tell you that. Okay, let me keep going. So he came to America, and the angel told him, you have 4 more years to carry Bibles. They will follow you step by step, but I'm going to be ahead of you. I'm going to blind their eyes. They're not going to be able to catch you. When they see they can't catch you, they're going to kick you out of your country. You're going to America to give them a warning from God. And God first spoke that warning in 1980. So when he came to America, the angel came to him again and said, get beside me. Took and showed him all of California, Las Vegas, and New York, and Florida. He said, you see what I've shown you? This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day, it will burn. How will it burn? Discovered where the most powerful nuclear missiles are stored. It will start with an internal revolution started by the communists. Mm. The people will start fighting against the government.
And who are the communists?
I don't have time for those questions.
Okay, well, let's just do the fast-forward version and get to the Bible, shall we?
I believe it's ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, New York Times, and such like that.
Oh, those are the communists.
Yeah, okay. The fall of America will start with an internal revolution started by the communists. Some of the people will start fighting against the government. Mm. The government will be busy with internal problems. Then from the oceans, Russia, Cuba, Nicaragua, Central America, Mexico, and two of the countries will attack and defeat America in one day. Mm-hmm. In 1 hour, so great riches will come to naught. Then God will raise up China and Japan and many other nations. They'll go against the Russians. They'll defeat the Russians. They'll back the Russians to the gates of Paris where they sign a peace treaty. I believe that's where they form world government. Under the leadership of the Russians, all the world goes down to attack Israel. That's Armageddon. Israel can't count on the help of the Jews in America, so she cries for Messiah. Messiah returns on the clouds, defeats the armies of the earth. So that you know that I'm truly the angel of God, and he told him 4 things that happened the next day. They all happened. Now, I'm about to tell you, let me finish. The angel said, he said, well, is this in the Bible? Because if it's not in the Bible, I can't tell the Americans. He said, tell them to read Revelation 18, the entire chapter. And that's what we're about to read. Also, Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 8 through 15. Now, Dimitri and I believe that actually all of Jeremiah 50 and Jeremiah 51 are all talking about America. And I believe it's also Isaiah 13, 21, and 47. Okay, so anyway, now let's get to Revelation 18.
Yes. Okay. Where it says the fall of Babylon. I'm very curious how you get the fall of Babylon to mean the fall of America when it clearly states the word Babylon.
Babylon means.
The word Babylon is a city or that place that the Israelites seem to have a lot of problems with back in the day. Babylon is a reoccurring theme because these people attacked them on several occasions. At one point, they even stole their king, kidnapped half of their city, burnt down their that temple. So these people did not like the people of Babylon. They were enemies.
Your question,
right?
First of all, the word Babylon, one of its descriptions is confusion. And we are a nation of confusion. We're confused about whose God is God.
Where does it say that Babylon is confusion?
Look up the definition for Babylon. That's what it means.
I don't have to look up the word for Babylon. They're talking about a city of Babylon, the people of Babylon. That's what they're talking about.
There's about 3 reasons. Let's go on to the next one. Okay, so would you agree that Revelation is talking about the future, not the past?
I believe Revelation is an attempt to talk about the apocalypse and what's going to happen at the end of the world. It's an attempt to figure everything out. I believe that's what it is. I believe that's all it is.
Okay. Well, then this is a nation in the future. It's not talking about a nation.
Where does it say it's talking about a nation in the future? Where does it say future nation? Not actually Babylon, but we're just going to say the word Babylon. I mean, where does it say stuff like that? I mean, Yahweh's not the author of confusion, right? I mean, if you're going to say America, let's say America, not Babylon. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's more like these people, what they did was they took their enemies and they wrote them in their stories. Kind of like what they did with the story of Lot. Are you familiar with that?
If we're going to get through this, I got to get through it.
That's perfectly fine, but I'm gonna say my piece first, though. The Lot story is kind of like this, and the fact that Lot had sex with his drunk or his daughters, they got him drunk and they had sex with him. So through incestuous drunken act, they created the enemy tribes. These what are they? The Moabites and the Ammonites.
You're gonna let me talk,
right? So are these Ammonites and these Moabites?
Or is this my time?
Referring to America?
Thing to do if it's your time.
Well, it's my show. I can talk too, you know.
I don't have to participate.
That's okay. You don't. I mean, honestly, you don't have to participate. You're here as a guest. I've invited you here. I would like you to participate. I would like us to have a back and forth conversation. But in order for that to happen, I have to actually talk too. So, this is more. It seems to me more like a personal attack against somebody they didn't like, such as the Babylonians. Now, when Lot's story talks about the Ammonites and the Moabites, those aren't talking about America. Those are talking about the Ammonites and the Moabites. But when the Revelation talks about Babylon or anywhere else for some reason, you don't think it's talking about Babylon. You think it's America. Why is it that these people would be talking about America instead of their number one enemy?
Are you done?
For now, yes.
Okay, so let's continue with Revelation 18.
Well, that was a question, though. Did you?
Well, I didn't come on to answer your questions.
That's kind of how it goes, man. It's a conversation. We go back and forth, and we converse, and we try and figure this stuff out.
And by your rules.
Well, this is my show, man. That's kind of how it works.
You invited me to teach Revelation 18.
I invited you to discussion, sir.
Well, I've got things to do.
Okay. Can you not defend your position?
I didn't come on here to defend my position.
So you just blatantly say things and don't have any defense for these things?
Look, I don't have time to argue.
Okay. Well, can you explain
why you
believe these things and why this seems to be an attack on a city that they don't like?
Let me talk.
You can answer the question.
Well, look, I'm done.
Hello? Are you there? Stan! Stan! Oh, man, Stan! That's all the podcast there is for you today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show and want to help keep the recording light on, then stop by the Patreon page today at patreon.com/BSWthePodcast and sign up to be a supporter of the show for as little as a dollar an episode. Patrons will get access to patron-only content such as bloopers and unaired clips. As always, you can find us at the Bible Says What Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages. Please send all of your questions, hate mail, or guest suggestions to bswthepodcast@gmail.com. That's bswthepodcast@gmail.com. And whether you listen to us on iTunes, Android, or YouTube, you can help others find the show and let us know how we are doing by giving us a rating and or comment. While you're there, don't forget to push that subscribe button so you won't miss out on next week's episode. Until then, would you kindly pick up your Bibles and read them?
Lord, we ask you to give us the right questions, the right answers, and cause people to tune in and listen to us and use us to win people to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right.